All right, so you sent over some really interesting stuff for today's deep dive. We're looking at the No Agenda News newsletter, the one from April 12th, 2025.
That's right.
And we're not just skimming it, right? We're digging in to pull out the really insightful bits, maybe the surprising stuff.
Exactly. And this newsletter, it's all about independent analysis, funded by listeners, which is kind of key to understanding it.
Definitely. So, what was the first thing that jumped out?
Well, straight away, the whole approach to donations, it's incredibly detailed. It tells you a lot about how they connect with their audience, I think.
Oh yeah, it's not just click here to donate. They get really specific.
Very
There
specific.
was that sad puppy graphic reference, if donations dip.
Yeah, which is quite a direct, almost like emotional pull, isn't it?
It is, yeah, very direct.
And then tying it into events like Easter and 420, that combination.
Right. The specific amounts, 420 or $42 in dimes.
Or the $105 in quarters, which they point out is 420 quarters. It's clever.
It's memorable, definitely. Sort of gamified, almost.
It feels like they're trying to, cut through the usual donation noise by tapping into these shared moments, build that engagement.
Makes sense. And the whole Commodore status thing for the recurring folks.
Right, it seems aimed at building loyalty, gives
Yes.
people status, that executive producer credit.
And saying the promotion might end after Easter adds a bit of urgency too.
Exactly, incentivizing that regular support. But interestingly, they also mentioned the V4V random amount donation.
Value for value, yeah.
That's apparently the most common way people donate. Little micropayments.
Which suggests what a really engaged audience giving based on what they feel they got out of it.
Seems like it. Very organic.
And the sheer number of ways to donate is kind of wild.
It really is. You've got PayPal, Stripe, the usual digital
But
stuff.
also physical checks to a PO box in California.
El Cerrito, yeah.
Yeah.
And they specifically say non-USA checks are okay.
Wow. That hints at a pretty wide reach, maybe internationally.
Could be. And then the recurring options are tiered out.
Yeah, the $33.33 a month, one they call a favorite.
Right. And the older $11.11 a month, and that really relatable $4 a week or 75 cents an hour one
Framing it per hour, that's smart.
makes it feel accessible.
Yeah.
And then the $50 a month knighthood layaway.
Layaway. It's like they've thought about every possible commitment level.
It seems that way. Plus this sort of do-it-yourself open donation option.
Right, for custom amounts.
Yeah.
And letting people send birthday messages or 73 messages for John, that really makes it feel like a community, doesn't it?
It does. It blurs the line. They're basically trying to make it super easy for anyone to chip in, however works best for them.
That whole complex system is, well, it's an insight itself into how some independent media stay afloat.
Absolutely. It's a key part of their model.
Okay, so switching gears a bit.
Yeah.
They also tease their next topic.
Tariffs.
Yeah, tariff discussions,
They've
specifically China's potential reaction to Trump's policies.
And they floated a pretty specific long-term theory, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
This idea that maybe the end goal is a flat 10% tariff on imports coming into the U.S.
Okay, wait. A 10% tariff and maybe something similar or lower on U.S. exports going out.
That was the theory presented.
And the economics they laid out, U.S. imports, what, around $3.5 trillion a year?
That was the figure they used, yeah. So a 10% tariff, that's potentially $350 billion in revenue.
Okay, 350 billion. And the idea, as they put it, was this could offset Trump's proposed tax reductions.
Right, which they estimated might cost somewhere between $150 and $350 billion annually.
So the newsletter presents it as potentially balancing the budget, maybe even reducing debt without crashing the economy.
That's the framing. But, we have to acknowledge the uncertainties there. Economists argue about the net gain from tariffs, right?
Sure, imports might drop, costs get passed to consumers. It's not always straightforward.
Exactly. Does it really offset the tax cuts fully? Does it spark retaliation? Lots of questions.
Definitely raises questions like which specific US industries get hit hardest or maybe even benefit. It's complex.
It is. But it shows their approach taking a big economic idea and proposing a specific, though speculative, application.
Okay, now the next bit, cartels and the crosshairs. This went in a pretty provocative direction.
It really did. Discussing using predator drones against Mexican drug cartels.
And drawing that direct parallel to Obama using drones against terror targets, even US citizens in the Middle East.
Yeah, which immediately flags all sorts of complex issues, legal, ethical, sovereignty.
Big time, using military tech in another country.
And the newsletter notes the potential impact on the drug trade itself, but also the, well, the almost certain backlash from the Mexican public.
Yeah, they'd likely see it as a major violation of their sovereignty.
Mm-hmm. And they emphasize the importance of calling the dealers terrorist organizations, saying nomenclature makes a difference.
Right. That's not just words, is it? It implies a whole different set of rules might apply.
Exactly. If they're terrorists, maybe that opens the door to different tactics, surveillance, sanctions, even military action like drones. It's exploring the edges of national security law.
But then the newsletter just pivots with this follow-up thought. That's quite something.
Yeah, it was jarring.
Asking, how about naming the Democrat Socialists terrorists next?
Oh.
Okay, and we need to be crystal clear here. We are reporting this was in the newsletter. We are absolutely not endorsing it or commenting on whether it's valid.
Absolutely. It's crucial context. Its inclusion really highlights the extreme polarization we see. Putting that right after talking about cartels.
It raises questions about, you know, what effect they intended, blurring lines between actual violence and political opposition.
It's definitely boundary-pushing commentary, the kind that gets strong reactions and really underlines why you need to read any source critically.
Totally. A reminder that even independent media has editorial viewpoints, sometimes very strong ones. It's on the reader to evaluate it all.
Indeed. Critical thinking is key.
And then fittingly, they wrap up with a support no agenda message. Brings it all back home.
Back to the funding model. They state, again, very clearly, they're funded only by listeners. That's how they maintain independence, in their view.
And they're explicit about avoiding, quote, creepy advertisers or corporate or communist influencers.
It's a direct pitch. Listener money equals independent analysis. A very clear transaction.
They even include the P.O. Box reminder again, the copyright info, the mailing address. Consistent messaging.
Yeah, the whole newsletter, start to finish, seems built to nurture that direct link with the audience. Funding, content, it's all intertwined.
So wrapping up this deep dive, what are the big takeaways? We saw this really intricate, creative listener support system.
Definitely. Shows that relationship between independent media and audience. We also got that glimpse into potential future news, like the tariff strategy.
Yeah, and its potential economic ripples. And then that really controversial drone idea against cartels.
Followed by that startling political comparison.
Right. It's striking how one newsletter weaves together economics, international relations, military tech, and really sharp political commentary.
All through their specific listener-funded lens. It makes you think about how different news models shape the analysis we get.
It really does. Makes you think more about, you know, who's funding the news you consume and what agendas might be there, even implicitly, even the independent stuff.
Ultimately, looking closely at something like this newsletter just underscores why media literacy, that critical engagement, is so important, looking past headlines at the structures underneath.
Well said. Thanks again for flagging this one. Definitely gave us a lot to chew on.